of the Cold Shoulder Podcast. This is episode 7. Welcome. I'm Mike McFarland.
I'm Nathan McFarland.
And I'm Teddy.
And today we are pretty much going to do almost completely Halo-themed. Which is actually not almost completely, because in the first section we do What Have You Done, and in the third section we review Muse. But there's some Halo, definitely. Substantial.
Halo's mentioned in this podcast.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion.
Before we get started, I'd like to apologize on behalf of this crew for all the lateness, because we've been really bad with due dates.
Shouldn't Nathan be the one apologizing?
Yes, he should.
I'm not the reason we didn't record last Wednesday.
Yeah, but you're the reason that the one that we did record didn't get put up.
That is true.
Basically, yes. It's everybody's fault, but mostly Nathan's.
We're still trying to work out our school schedules, and it's kind of getting busy, so bear with us. But
because we know that you're all like itching at the race,
waiting
and waiting desperately. But,
hitting the refresh button every 5 seconds.
It's like a launch party every Monday, man. Yeah, we know none of you do that.
No, I don't even do that. Some of them do.
I'm pretty sure the cool ones do that.
That's right. Yeah.
All the cool ones are doing it.
All the cool ones.
All the hot girls and the hot guys. Yeah. So if you want to be like them, or if you want a chance with them, then you should be like them.
Anyway,
Did you know there's actually a statistical proven that being more attractive.
Statistical?
It's proven. It's statistically proven that being more attractive makes people like you more.
Yeah, that's kind
I could have told you that.
Never mind. I mean, just
take this example, okay? You're hanging out with.
Wait. Look at all your best friends. How many of them are good looking?
Not a good question for Nathan.
If you have friends.
Sorry. But, you know, say you're hanging out with a bunch of your friends, and two of your friends each bring one of their friends. One of them is good looking and one of them isn't. Like, just honestly, which one is going to be the first one that you talk to?
Which one ever talks to me first? Which is probably the not good-looking
one. Actually, you'd be surprised. Because in general, the good-looking ones, like guys and girls, get talked to more, right? And so they're actually better, they're more skilled in conversation and more likely to initiate conversations, too. Like, if you notice how, like the more attractive people generally are talking with more members of the opposite sex... It's not just because, like, more members of the opposite sex will talk to them. It's because more members of the opposite sex will talk to them, they know how to talk to them more.
That's the vicious cycle.
Also, probably the good looks give them confidence. So it's like, yeah.
Not so much. You would be surprised. You would be surprised how
Unless
many people.
Even geeks can have confidence,
even geeks can have confidence, and a lot of people that are attractive don't have confidence.
So wait, why are we talking about this?
Because Nathan brought it up.
Why'd you bring this up?
Because he was saying something.
Didn't
about
the article last
listeners?
Week
so
die
see
and
now, then. As you can tell from all of this, if you listen to our podcast regularly, then you're attractive and confident.
Yay, we us people. Then again, you have to realize that you're listening to a podcast, and that most of the people in this
world So you're world an attractive and confident geek.
So most people in this world don't know what a podcast is.
That's because most people in this world don't have a computer.
Most people in this country don't know what a podcast is.
Okay. I'll give you that, too.
So let's just move along into our regular segment.
What have you done?
Nathan.
I've been doing a lot this week.
That's enough. No.
What?
He's been doing a lot. We obviously can't let him talk about it. No. Nathan, go.
Besides tests and school and stuff.
Oh, is that kind of a lot?
No. I've also been working on two separate websites.
What websites?
One for our church, which is just merged with another church. And because... They had
Breaking
a building
news.
And didn't have a pastor, and we had a pastor and not a building. Perfect fit, right? Maybe.
It's like Digimon.
It's like the Brady Bunch.
Or Digimon.
Except less people.
And less monsters, probably.
We have less people in the church than the Brady Bunch.
Not quite that few, but... And, so, they want...
That sounds like podcast stopping news.
We're going to have to stop recording the podcast right now. See you in a minute. Hello, and welcome back to the Cold Shoulder Podcast. This is the second section. Sorry about leaving so abruptly. We had some bad news, but we're going to continue on. This will be abbreviated. We'll probably get into more depth on Halo 3 later in a later episode. For now, we're just going to give our first impressions. And Nathan, why don't we let Teddy start us off?
Okay. I haven't had too much time to play it, but one thing that I do like is how when you're playing co-op, you're not all Master Chief.
I don't like that, though, because I want to be Master Chief. I don't want to be the Arbiter.
So be first player.
I can't.
Why not?
Because he hogs it. He meaning Nathan.
It's my 360.
I mean, who wants to be the Arbiter over Master Chief?
Raise his hand.
You do.
Arbiter is, like, way cooler than Master Chief. He's an alien. That automatically makes him, like, way cooler. But even cooler than that...
Master Chief is Duke Nukem.
...is playing a Marine.
Master Chief is Duke Nukem.
No. No way.
Yeah.
He'd be a lot slower. And not released.
That's the beauty of it. You think you've been waiting for Duke Nukem forever? You've been playing it. Haven't you beaten the game yet? The final cutscene in legendary mode, he takes off his helmet and it's Duke Nukem.
Does his stomach suddenly bulge?
He gets a beer gut.
But, like, one thing I do like is the new vehicles, like the chopper.
The Hornet.
The chopper. The chopper is, like, by far the coolest new vehicle, the brute driver motorcycle ass thing.
That's
a giant saw blade for a wheel. Well, two, really. And it rolls over things and you can ride and you can blow them up just by running into stuff.
I actually did not find that very useful to me.
Oh, it's so fun. It's were, like...
Yeah, you were there when we were playing co-op. He was actually doing really well with it.
It's almost as fun as the Mongoose, and more useful. The Mongoose is easily the most fun vehicle in the game now.
But you can't use any weapons with
it. You can't do anything, but it's the most fun.
You have a partner on the riding back seat. And that's the main reason, like, you get it for one mission to use the rocket launcher so you can take out a Scarab. But yeah, those things are really fun.
You know the other thing that it'll be used for? Capture the flag.
Yes,
of course.
Those things are really fast.
And it's rocket,
like,
race.
It's like hand designed for capture the
rocket
flag.
Rocket race.
Rocket race.
It's a custom game type where you all have indestructible Mongoose, and like one of you is a driver, and one of you is the gunner who basically just has a rocket launcher, an infinite
unlimited
amount
ammo.
With infinite amount of ammo.
Nice.
And it's a race.
Nice.
And yeah, that's one of the awesome things about Halo 3 is with the Forge and all that, you can create your own game types. You can edit the maps, and pretty in depth too. You can get some crazy
stuff.
You
can't change the physical terrain of the maps because they designed them, but
you can
do anything
within
the
map.
Nice.
And the Forge was really overselling Halo 3. I mean, they really did not have to include that. They could have sold Halo 3 as a single player and then sold another version as a multiplayer game if they actually wanted to.
They really could have.
And most people would probably just buy the multiplayer, but a lot of people would buy the single player too. But they didn't. And then they sold all this other stuff with it. It's like, it's incredible what they packaged into this game. And they really just, they didn't need to, but that's definitely showing up everyone else.
Also, one of the things I really like about the Halo 3 is that they've finally done matchmaking on the 360 right.
They have finally done
matchmaking on the 360 right. Because before, like, other games like Call of Duty 3 or whatever you would play.
If you trying to get in a ranked match in Call of Duty 3 would take like half an hour.
Yeah, because they have regular matches and ranked matches. Regular matches, there's no...
That could have been because there was only 20 other people playing Halo.
No, there was a bunch of people playing that. But it's like, regular matches don't keep track of score. Ranked matches have a persistent score. You get promoted, like in Call of Duty 3, you got promoted once you got a certain number of points, like to different ranks and whatever, and ranked you worldwide. But the thing is, one of the things that is just awesome about ranked games is the people playing them, they are playing them because they want to play, not because they want to just fool around.
Sometimes you'll still get people who want to just be idiots.
That is true, but most of the time the people playing them actually want to have a good time and work, and so you get stuff like people working as a team, and...
Before we get too far into multiplayer, we should go back to campaign.
Well, I just want to say one more thing. Well, it's
just
let
him continue.
Fine.
You get people working as a team, and the only downside to that was that it took so long to get into a ranked match because it had to match your true skill, which is it's a ranking thing that tells people that tries to match people with skill comparable to yours, so you don't have like those really unbalanced games. But it just took so long, and this is so much better because before you could only play single player, like you couldn't play as a team, you could only play one or everybody against everybody else.
You could do teams,
but you wouldn't rank as a team. You were ranked as yourself. It was ranked individually, and
you
not as
teams. Play as teams.
I'm saying it doesn't keep score for
it. Does.
No, it doesn't keep score as teams. It only keeps score as your own player, how many kills you got,
yes,
whatever.
But what would you expect?
I expect what they have right now.
It's your record.
In this, you can go in with friends. No, but you can go in. You can have a friend join you, and then you go to find a team match to play. In this, you can. You can go with a friend, make a party, and then go find a ranked team match, and you can be on the same team. And it will just find you a team match that has comparable skill to both of you, not just one. And this is so much better, because like before, if you wanted to play online with your friends, you had to play regular matches. You couldn't play ranked matches. But a lot of people didn't like playing regular matches because it's like, well, what's the point? There's all this cool stuff you can do in ranked matches. Halo 3 has fixed that, where it's so much faster. It's so much easier to find a ranked match game. It's so much quicker, and you can play as your friends. You can play with a team. I'm not sure if there's clan support. I don't know. They might not have that. But it's just so much better. But yeah, you want to talk about the single player?
Yeah. What did you guys think of the level design? Because I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I think they've definitely improved over Halo 2, which I thought was not the best of level designing.
I found it comparable to Halo 2.
I think it's better than Halo 2.
There's less backtracking, which is one thing that was kind of annoying in Halo 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I was never... Were you really annoyed with the library level when you played it?
The library was one of the most fun levels of the game.
See, that's the thing. I thought it was a cool level, and I didn't see what everyone was complaining about. But then everybody apparently is... Like, or everyone on the internet is complaining about...
It means three people on a podcast they listen to.
They complain about how the library was, like, the worst level ever, and no one liked it. I don't know.
The flood levels are fun.
I love fighting the flood.
Nathan doesn't like the flood levels for some reason.
Because he's evil?
Like the flood?
That would explain it.
Do you have a shotgun, Teppy?
He doesn't like killing his kid. No, but I can bash.
Didn't work. Anyway, yeah, I think that definitely the AI in this game is a lot better. Like, the enemies, they seem like they are not completely stupid.
One of the things is, like, the brutes, Well, the brutes in the last game in Halo 2 were basically just damage sponges.
Yeah.
But this one, they're actually intelligent. They take kind of the role of the elites.
And through all the games, though the grunts have been fun to play, they've been really, really weak. In this one, they want you dead. They really want you dead. I mean, they some of them have snipers, some of them have fuel rods.
They drive vehicles.
They drive vehicles. These are the grunts. And they shout curses at you.
And they have
and
kamikaze.
They yell at you for killing their friends.
Yes. And they have kamikaze grunts, too.
I'll bite your kneecaps!
One of them says that.
I believe you.
It's definitely... What?
I believe you.
Okay, good. So, yeah, they've definitely improved on the AI and the level design. And, of course, the graphics look really good. I mean, it's not Gears of War, but then again... It's
bigger.
Yes, it's bigger.
That's bigger and, scale. Yeah, they did the scale right. Because one of the things
we haven't even gotten to the big fight yet.
I know we haven't even gotten to the big fight, but they still. One of the things that was like so awesome about Halo 1 was that one snow level inside the ring when you're going to like stop them sending off Halo, where you drop down and there's this huge battle going on.
Yes.
And it's like, dude, I've never seen something like this before in a game. This
you
is ridiculous.
You actually say that to your laptop? You say, dude?
Dude.
Man.
Sweet. Anyway.
But it's, and then they got, but they got the scale right. There's like this one battle where you're battling a scarab on
one
Mon Geese.
Only
and
one?
And then there's another battle where you're battling
two scarabs. And you have scorpions and hornets.
Nice.
And,
yeah.
And warthogs. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
One thing is, if you're playing co-op and when you first get the hornets, if your teammate dies, die too, so they can get the hornet and fly around with you and not leave you behind in the water for that next half hour while you drive over the place and kill all the banshees. Just, you know.
I smell a story.
Well, that was kind of the story.
What happened was we just got the hornets, and Michael's like, dude, this thing's so freaking awesome! So he runs off.
That's not what I sound like.
Yeah, it is.
Well, obviously not.
So he rockets off against the enemies, and he dies within, like, the first 30 seconds.
It's because there was, like, seven of them all against me in the ground turrets, too.
Yeah, and
so
I was
watching charge.
And while he charged ahead, and I was coming along behind, and he's like, dude, I'm dead, die
and
too. It's
not
like,
only
we'll
did
see.
He just not die, he took the slowest route possible. He would go forward a tiny bit, shoot something, and then drive back, and then go forward a little bit, and then shoot something, and drive back. Constantly. He took as slow time as he could.
No, I tried to do it without dying. Unlike you.
It would have been better if you just died, and then we both go. Because dying doesn't count against you in Halo.
Unless you're
they
playing challenge
expect
mode.
It. Yes, but we weren't.
See, it's like the Bible verse, talking about a cord of three strands will not easily be broken. If you're playing with friends in Halo, then you can die and still respawn. That's why it's important to have friends.
Yes. Well, that's another thing. It's
the
like,
thing is, the reason it wouldn't respawn me is because he's in the air, and he's moving, and there's banshees all around.
And then
one time, when he got right near, because it was this huge building that we were supposed to attack, and it was like on a cliff, he got near the cliff, close enough that he wasn't in danger anymore, but not close enough to the cliff to spawn me on the cliff. So I spawn, I'm like, yay, I'm alive, oh my gosh. And I fall down to my death.
I love doing that.
And then it takes
that.
Another 10 minutes before he gets to another place.
In Halo 1, I would do that. Like, I would get in the Banshee on the last level. I would get in the Banshee, I would kill whoever I was playing with, and then I would fly up to right near one of the little ledges on the pillar near the top. I'd just sit there and wait. And then
you're a jerk.
I knew how to position the Banshee so that I knew which side they spawned on.
Remember,
so
remind
I would
me
spawn
not to play Halo with
and
you.
Just fall. Or better yet, I would spawn them up there so that they would stay on the ledge, and then I'd go back without them.
You're a jerk.
Good
fun
times.
Yeah, comparing the scarab in this game to the scarab in the Halo 2, which could hardly be called a scarab because it was scripted, it just walked. This one actually reacts to you. This one is AI. The other one is just, it does what the script tells it to.
It's a very large tank.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
But you can't drive it.
No, you can't drive it.
That means it's worthless.
To me.
Yeah.
The best vehicle in this whole thing, though, is the Scorpion.
No.
Because you can take out anything.
Scorpion's pretty awesome.
Scorpion's not a mongoose.
Scorpion can destroy a mongoose very easily.
And very not a mongoose.
But a mongoose can go ramp up off a scorpion.
There's a difference between the most fun vehicle and the best vehicle.
No, there isn't.
Yes, the best vehicle is the one that'll make you kill things the best.
There's a difference between the most powerful vehicle and the best vehicle. There's no difference between most fun vehicle and the best vehicle. They're the same thing. Okay. Well, okay, maybe not.
No.
Chopper is probably the best.
No. You're the only one here who thinks that.
And that automatically makes my opinion of more value than you. And I mean of more value than you, not just of more value than your opinion.
The campaign is really good so far. The cutscenes are kind of weird. I mean, they're alright, but
it's like
not
they
that
vary
in
quality.
Them.
When it's the Master Chief, it's freaking awesome. It's really good quality. It looks pretty.
I'm actually
when it goes to the people, they kind of look like the aliens.
Yeah,
Sergeant Johnston in the beginning. It's like, don't do a close up.
I've kind of found myself only caring about the cutscenes because they further the story, and I kind of have to know what happens. But
no,
besides
you don't.
That, they're kind of boring.
You just have to pull the trigger when the cutscene goes away. Geek,
dude,
caring about the story in Halo.
Dude, have you read any?
I've
of the
had
books?
To find out how Master Chief dies.
I've read one of them.
I don't know. Sure,
they're much better written than the games.
He's lucky. I know that much because I saw the opening cutscene.
Not the ending cutscene.
Not the ending cutscene.
Yeah.
But Cortana said he was lucky.
Dude. Which we should say, we have not beaten the game yet. We're only on level 7 of 9.
Of 9?
Yes.
I got that.
Geek joke.
Except... Yeah.
What the crap?
You don't know who 7 of 9 is? It's a character from Star Trek.
I don't watch Star Trek.
Voyager.
I don't watch Star Trek.
You've watched Voyager.
Yeah, when was the last time? 10 years ago?
Maybe.
Maybe.
It could have been 97. Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
10 years ago was 97. I'm cutting
That's
a lot of
That's when Duke Nukem Forever
anyway.
Was announced. Anyway, yeah. So, we're on chapter 7, and there are 9 chapters, and we haven't beaten it yet, and we're very upset because the Xbox is broken.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
One of the things that I really...
Or earlier.
One of the things I really like about they've added, which it should have been there, I mean, it's like, it's something you do anyway, but now that keeps score, is it gives you a score for how much you've killed things.
If you choose.
You can turn it on, and it's called challenge mode, and it'll give you a score, and you can either do it as a team, or compare, or do it against each other, comparing your scores, and see who gets the biggest score.
Another thing with the challenge mode is the skulls, which throughout the game you can unlock different skulls, and each skull will make the game harder in some way, like one of them might give everyone else extra shields or something, all the enemies extra shields, but you'll get bonus points for killing them. And so there's like, how many skulls are there? 40?
No, there's not that many, I don't think. I think there's less than that.
There's a bunch, though. There's a bunch of skulls, and there's different ways to unlock them in the game. Go online and look on somewhere. You'll find it.
That's a cool feature, because like, you're playing against your buddy, and it's like, I'm having more score than you. You're saying, man, you're really sucking today.
And again, this
you?
Is something they had. No one would have missed it. No one would have even thought of it if they hadn't included it. Like, this is the kind of thing. With this game, they are really including so much that there is a bunch of hype for it, but it surpasses the hype because it just it could have, they could have just said, okay, here's the, here's seven cutscenes and here's a multiplayer. Go have fun for the next 7 years until Halo Wars comes out. But they included everything they could think of, and they included tools for you to create everything you could think of, which is pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, because there's going to be a community that's constantly making custom game types and custom maps, and that you'll be able to download off their thing.
There could be more if Microsoft would let them release it on the computer.
That's true.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you can go to a Bungie.net and download... Well, this has nothing to do with the computer. But you can go to Bungie.net, and they'll have, like, they have their favorites, some things, like, things that people have made that they've seen that are really cool. And you can also find other users' creation online. And it's cool because you just queue them up for download on the site, and then as soon as you turn your Xbox on, it'll download those things.
Nice.
So you get custom. And that makes the replayability, which is Halo. Okay? Halo 2 is the most was the most played game on Xbox Live for the 360. Okay? So this is a pretty replayable game. And they added so much to this that it's crazy, and they're insane.
Yeah.
In the good way.
Also, it's a good thing that you can do all this from the computer. Because, really, when you're playing a game on a 360, you don't really want to have to go to the marketplace and download maps. Because you're there to game. You're not there to you're not there to go search. And it's so much easier to just go on the computer and do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to have some rigorous trial file transfer thing where you have to email yourself this or whatever. I don't even know what would be.
We haven't even talked about the replay camera yet, where you can make your own movies from your replays and send them to your friends.
Well, have you tried it out? Because I haven't.
I tried it out a little bit. It's cool. I mean, it's cool, and it's just a little hard to. You have to get used to navigating it around. It's basically it's almost like you're flying around with a camera in real, and you can, but you have the ability to pause time or rewind time.
Nice.
And so then you can edit it into smaller chunks and send it to your friends and all sorts of stuff. And it's
really cool because the files are actually like under 5 megabytes.
Well, yeah, because there's no like YouTube for Halo 3, which is a missed feature. They should have like had something where you can post them online.
Is it 5 megabytes or kilobytes?
I think it's, I don't know, it's small, because
what it is
it's information that it tells the 360 to use the game engine to replicate it.
Nice.
It is cool, I mean.
The Bungie really went all out on this. I mean,
except for missing out on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah. Stupid Bungie.
Well,
they don't know anything, do they?
So far.
Also, the story was,
Well, you don't play Halo.
What'd you expect?
I know. It's like, BioShock is...
All they needed to do was include a story, and all the Halo fanboys would say it's the greatest
thing.
The Halo
universe has a lot of
Bible.
deep backstory, which is why the books are supposedly so good, although they haven't read them. They just don't put that in the game. Not really.
Well, one of the things I noticed is they're trying so much harder to make everything fit within the universe. Like, retconning stuff. Like, oh, this happens because this and this and this, and yeah, but it's like... Like, the grunts are now suddenly much more fierce because they want to... Because if they lose, then one side will kill them, but if they win, the other side will kill them. They're dead either way. It's like...
Well, then why would they fight? Wouldn't they all run away?
Or no, if they lose, then... if they lose... I don't know.
If they lose, the enemy will kill them, but their people will also kill them, probably. Something like that. But if they win, then they might get a doggy treat.
Yeah, so they
Scooby snacks.
And it's just like saying, "Oh yeah, we increase the difficulty on the AI for the grunts." It's like, "No, they're fiercer now. They're fighting for their lives, or before
also,
they weren't because they only got killed."
Anyone?
Now they really get killed.
If you're going to play Halo 3, play it on heroic or legendary. Cuz I've heard reports that it's a completely different game. Like on easy, normal, or whatever other junk they have before heroic is like you die once or twice throughout the campaign. In heroic is like you die once or twice every 10 minutes, at least.
And in legendary, you die. You die in the game. You die in real life.
I mean, I've heard it makes you appreciate the level design more, just by the fact that you actually have to think about what you're doing. You can't just run and gun.
Well, you can, but it's not very effective.
Yeah, it is. Oh, man. I had some fun moments. One of the things that I really like about the game is you can rip off turrets now and carry them yes. with you. So there was one point in the game when me and Nathan were playing, and we passed a turret. I'm like, okay, we already killed all the enemies here, and I didn't see this turret, but grabs. And I pick up the turret, and you walk slower when you're carrying it, but I'm just like, oh, well. So we're walking for a distance with it, and I'm like, starting to regret carrying it, because I'm like, well, you know, I'm going slower, and it's kind of annoying, but might as well hold on to it. I've come this far with it. I turn around a corner, and the ceiling is filled with bugs.
Oh,
big,
I hate
flying
that part.
Bugs. And so I just pull the trigger and hold it down and, like, killed them all. It was glorious.
Yeah, those bugs are annoying.
That was so fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Have they added any new enemies in this game?
Angry grunts.
Brutes. The brutes are kind of like, they're almost a different
hammers.
Species. Gravity hammer, so awesome.
I said enemies, not weapons to kill enemies with, or enemies that bear weapons.
I mean,
weapons.
The brutes are it's completely different now, but I think they pretty much kept it the same.
That
they made
prophets.
Different...
Prophets are a standard enemy now. They ride around on their little hover chairs and yell at you.
This is all a lie.
Abuse.
No, man, they shout some pretty mean things. Like
the only way to take them down is
when it came, I was pretty demeaned. It hurt my self-esteem.
The only way to take them down...
If your self-esteem dies in the game, it dies in real life.
Most people playing Halo 3 don't have that problem, though.
Oh, come on. There's tons of people... Halo 3 has transcended beyond a geek thing, and it's now a pop culture thing. It's kind of like the Wii.
Yeah.
The Wii is not a geek thing. It's not designed to be a geek thing. It's designed to be a pop culture thing, which coincides with something the geeks like. I mean, that's their whole philosophy. It's like, we're here for the non-gamers who want to play games.
So, yeah. Campaign's awesome.
Yes.
And even though we haven't beaten it, we still love it, and we're going to hate Microsoft until we get another Xbox so we can play it again and beat it.
I mean, also, one of the really great things is just how full the multiplayer is when you're playing online against other people. There's just so much to do.
Oh,
wait,
snap.
Do you hear
that sound?
Do you hear that?
I
think it's time for They Might Be Giants.
Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul. Now Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. So take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
Hello, welcome back to the Cold Shoulder Podcast. This is Section 3. We're going to be reviewing Muse's new album, Black Holes and Revelations, and we're also going to sort of, kind of, not really review Halo 3, basically how it stacks up against the previous games. But first, let's head on to Muse. Nathan, you want to start us off?
Yes, he does.
I'm pretty sure that was a yes.
Okay.
He was nodding his eyes significantly.
Muse is awesome. It is
very awesome.
I thought that was how he's going to start.
I was not ready to start. Anyway, Muse is awesome. It is, they've been around for a while, but I've just recently got into them, and,
yeah, they're really big in Britain.
Yeah.
Stop interrupting.
I'm adding to the conversation.
They just started getting big over here in the U.S. And one of the the album that we've heard is Black Hole, or I got it into them with, is Black Holes and Revelations. And one of the things that really struck me about the whole album is how different each of the songs are from each other. They're very different in their styles. They're all rock, but they're very different styles of rock.
I wouldn't say all of them are rock. Soldier's Poem.
It's like a rock ballad.
That one isn't
not
as
really.
Good.
It's actually just. Yeah, I actually don't like that one as much. I don't know what the story behind it is, but it's just kind of same thing for a couple months.
I like it because it's creepy.
I like Invincible.
The tune's really bubblegum pop-ish.
Invincible's really fun.
Invincible's a good song.
I think my favorite, though, is either Knights of Cydonia.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Starlight's also very good, but it's definitely Knights of
Cydonia. I really like Assassin.
Assassin's fun.
Oh, the Map of
Map of the Problematic.
Yeah.
Supermassive Black Hole.
Supermassive Black Hole.
Basically the whole album.
Mom doesn't like Supermassive Black Hole because she thinks he sounds like Michael Jackson.
How is that a bad thing?
Well,
Michael Jackson was great while he was black.
And a man.
And a man.
Anyways, let's not get into that.
But,
like, really, like a lot of his stuff is good. Like Beat It
like,
and Thriller and...
I'm Fat!
Wait, no, Smooth Criminal.
Wrong song.
I mean, honestly, who doesn't love Smooth Criminal? Ever seen the original music video?
No.
I'll look it up on YouTube. It's
maybe.
Awesome.
Okay.
But yeah, Knights of Cydonia.
Muse. Musel Jackson.
One of the things that really struck is even though they have all these different styles, the thing that ties them all together is this undercurrent or even overtones, whatever you want to call it, of
the
electronica.
Voice.
Well, even the singer's voice changes style between songs. So
sure.
The thing that kind of
like,
stays as a constant.
Take About a like
Knights of Cydonia,
Cydonia or Starlight or Soldier.
Well, Take About and Knights of Cydonia are kind of close.
Yeah, but.
Soldier's Poem.
Think about is such a creepy song.
It is weird.
But one of the things that it's just like that ties the whole album together.
You will burn.
Oh, I like that song.
That's all about the oppressive government. I mean, not the corrupt government.
Yeah. I noticed they're pretty anti-government.
Yeah.
But I don't really mind because they make good music.
And it's probably the British government, so that's okay.
Yeah. No one likes Tony Blair. Not even the people that like him. Like, really, even his fans don't like him.
Muse is British?
They just hate him less.
Exactly.
Yes, Muse is very British.
I never knew that.
Well, you do now.
And,
Nathan,
but,
why didn't you tell me?
Because I didn't think it needed to taint your impressions of him.
Well, it wouldn't change my impressions of him.
Dude, the most influential band in history came from Britain.
Yeah. I'm just going to let their music stand on their own, not give her false impressions of greatness. Let her decide for herself.
British singers are cool. The accent's really cool.
Yeah, well, you didn't notice.
No, I didn't notice, because they're singing.
Who doesn't like a British accent?
British people.
That's probably true.
No one likes the accent from wherever they're from.
We don't have an accent.
Yes,
what accent?
Ew.
On the one hand, I'm inclined to say that's true, because if you go anywhere north of here, then they say we have a southern accent. If you go anywhere south of here, then they say we have a northern accent. If you go to Hawaii,
but what is a northern accent?
A valley girl
it's
accent.
A northern accent is like the absence of an accent.
No, northern accent, you obviously have...
New York?
Well, it depends on how north. Which north?
Any north, like New York, Maine, Massachusetts, they have accents.
I remember when I went to Maine, they all thought we were really southern.
Yeah.
We weren't at all.
Maine's good country, though. I like Maine.
Maine's
like,
really cool.
Country, I mean countryside, not country, as I
can use. Knights of Cydonia is definitely the best song. It's like a western, but with
bass.
It's like Serenity.
It's
like Serenity, I was just going
to
say that.
It's like a sci-fi western drama.
I listen to it
westerns,
in my sleep.
That's great. Speaking of westerns...
So Gerard is not the only one?
Gerard's out the door.
Oh. She's moved on.
Smackdown.
But he'll come back.
Oh, okay.
With the next album?
Yeah. Or when I get bored of Muse.
So in a week.
You can get bored of Muse?
In a year or something.
All right. Anyway, speaking of Westerns, go watch 310 to Yuma. That movie is incredible. Like, it will blow your mind.
Haven't seen it.
It will blow your mind. You will be crying for joy when those credits roll.
Why? Because you'll be so happy it's over?
Because you're so blessed.
Okay.
See that.
This just sounded like, oh, maybe I was planning on seeing it.
No, Teddy, you're the only one who made that connection right there. Oh. Just because you're a pessimist.
That and I saw Shoot 'Em Up.
You did?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was entertaining. As long as you don't take it seriously and have the entire theater to yourself. When I saw it with a friend, and we were the only ones in the theater.
Huh. That's fun.
The one thing about it is it has a couple pretty sketchy scenes.
Pretty sketchy?
Yeah.
How sketchy?
Don't go into detail. Yeah.
And so during those scenes, it was nice to have the whole open theater, because then we could just, like, do whatever we wanted during those scenes. We could, like, just...
Make fun, right?
Yeah, and we could just get up and walk around, do whatever. The funny part was, the one funny part is, during one of those scenes, I looked over at him, and I was about to say, like, why do they feel the need to include this in the movie? And then I'm like, well, wait a second. This is, like, the one movie where I can't say what's the purpose of including this scene.
What's the purpose
because
of the title?
Because the entire movie is filled with unnecessary scenes. Because the whole point of the movie is, like, you know, how they have those movies that are, like, it seems like the plot is just a sorry excuse to include violence. This one, they didn't bother excusing the violence. They're just like, hey, we're going to include a plot, but only so you can pretend you're not shallow.
Back to news. What did you think of the album, Lauren?
I liked it a lot.
This has got to be the worst album review ever.
What's something you didn't like about it?
Soldier's Poem.
Yeah.
Why?
Fine, you go.
I have nothing to say.
Oh, okay.
Why didn't you like it?
I just didn't like it as much as the others.
Is there a reason?
I think the way he sung it.
You didn't like his vocal style?
No.
I did.
The one problem I have with the album is the kind of some of the songs are excellent, just awesome to listen to over and over. Some of the songs have boring parts. Soldier's Poem is a boring part.
Very boring.
Whatever. You guys have no appreciation for good music.
Sure I do.
Other than the music that's good music that you say is good music. You appreciate that, but not the good music that you say isn't good music.
Wait, so what's the song that you don't like then?
That's a good question.
You like Soldier's Poem?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's a fun song, and creepy, and I like creepy songs.
Can't even hear it.
Creepy songs are fun. I like creepy songs. Like Succession of Witches.
Never
have you heard that?
Heard that.
Oh, that's such an awesome song.
You need to hear Muse's song. It's not on this album. It's Newborn. I think that's what it's called. It's Newborn.
Awesome.
It's very
Liberi Fatali.
Huh?
Liberi Fatali. Have you heard that one?
No.
Oh, that's... I'm showing that to you as soon as we're done recording the podcast. It's an awesome song.
Okay.
I'll give it to Nathan. He can put it on the podcast.
Cool. So
Muse.
Yes, Muse again.
Really Muse is good.
Muse is good.
And how's Halo 3?
Halo 3
wait,
was good.
Wait,
we already talked about
before
this,
we
but
moved
yeah.
In, no, we didn't. Before we move into Halo 3, let's give a number score to Muse just for the fun of it.
Muse, I'm going to have to give my first above 90 5. Because I think I gave someone else a 92. I don't remember, though. I need to keep track. But yeah, I'm going to give them a 97.
Wow.
They're good.
Wow. Well, this is not for the band. It's just this album, remember?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really good.
Nathan?
That's the thing. There's no track on this that is very much like Hushdown. There's no track on this I don't like. I like Soldier's Poem, and I like all of them. And, I'd have to, they're really, really good. the like, because I was listening to them and I was thinking, you know who this reminds me of? My Chemical
God.
Romance.
I knew it!
But it's not because they sound anything alike. It's just because they're both very musically talented, they have a wide variety of styles, and their albums, they strike me in the same way, in that they both are very well-crafted, almost like a story in the way that they are put together, albums. And I'd have to give it a 93.
Well, similar to the Hush sound, there are some songs I don't like on this album. And I'm going to have to give it probably maybe a 90. Lauren?
122.
On a scale of...
125.
No! Yeah, I guess.
So that would have counted 99?
I was going to say 100.
But she decided she liked 122 better.
So I guess...
My favorite number is 22.
But you don't like the Soldier's Poem, but you still think the album...
I didn't say I don't like it. I just didn't like it as much as the others.
So bring it back to a 100-point scale, that would probably be around a 99.
Yeah, and a half.
The only reason it's not 100 is because only Jesus is worthy of 100. If Jesus were to release a rock album, oh, man.
Yes, but the whole point of rock and roll is to rebel against the man.
Dude, Jesus was such a hippie.
No, but
he had long
hair.
He is
the man.
He was colorful.
He had long hair. He walked everywhere. He railed against the establishment. Dude, Jesus was such a hippie. In a good way. Not a hippie in a bad way. Because there's good hippie and there's bad hippie.
I'm pretty sure he didn't have a meth lab in his basement.
Exactly. That's bad hippie. Jesus was good hippie.
Anyway.
Jesus
that
was good. Just period.
On that note, let's move into Halo 3.
Didn't we just talk about Halo 3?
No, we just talked about talking about Halo 3, but then we did.
Right now, we're going to see how it compares to Halo 1 and Halo 2, separately and then together. So, Teddy.
I gotta go.
Halo 3, I haven't played a lot, but from what I've seen, it's like Halo 2 and a half.
Which was Halo 1 and a half.
Yeah.
It's basically Halo 2
it's
revamped.
Like, basically, Halo 2 and Halo 3 are just expansion packs for Halo. They add more guns, they add more maps, and they add more levels.
The thing is, what would you want out of Halo 3 that they didn't give you? They really oversold
this. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, like this...
Nobody wanted them to release Halo 3. They wanted the 2.5.
Yeah, exactly.
Because nobody knows what Halo 3
is. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just, it's you know, there's nothing new or innovative being brought to the table.
Wow. There's plenty of new stuff.
There's no surprises.
Right.
No surprises, but the Maulers. They're like, I was reading and I guess they're actually the Brute pistols, but they look like shotguns and they act like shotguns and you can dual wield them. That's just
but
awesome.
The one thing that they did add that makes it
Spartan laser
makes it like really cool.
Spartan laser
choppers
and the choppers and the Spartan laser.
They added
which are both on the same level.
But all this is balancing it out, giving one side something the other side had. They gave the Covenant shotgun like weapons because the people had shotgun like weapons.
You know what? I figured out what I wanted from Halo 3. What? I want to drive a Scarab.
I like the Banshees.
Well, that's
ew,
what the
just
Scarab
like the
is.
Word Banshee.
That
she's
too.
Halo 1.
Halo 1's so hard.
I don't like the Banshees, though. I think they're cheap beyond all belief.
They're easy to kill.
Warthogs are good, too.
Warthogs are so fun.
Yes,
Mongoose.
Yeah,
you can do the coolest things with Warthogs. And the Scorpions. The Scorpion's awesome. But that's kind of getting into the Halo 3 review. I mean, impressions. Let's just talk about how it compares now.
I think that Halo 3 compares very well, and there's no reason to go back and play Halo 1 or 2 unless you really like the story.
No, there's reason to go back and play Halo 1.
Pistol.
One word.
Pistol.
Ghosts.
Pistol.
Ooh, those are good.
There's ghosts in the Halo 3.
Yeah, but they don't fly.
They didn't fly in Halo 1.
Yeah, they did.
They did. They hovered.
They hovered like 5 feet off the ground so that if you ducked and they ran towards you, it wouldn't run over you. They could leap into the air and do all sorts of flying twirls and
stuff. I could have sworn you were going to say pistol.
No. No, pistol's nice and all, but it's not worth going back to.
Who cares about the pistol?
I've been at like birthday parties and stuff like that where we've all been playing Halo 2 and we're just like, you know what I want?
What?
A ghost.
Me too.
Let's go get Halo 1.
Okay.
And we go and we play Halo 1 for the rest of the night just because of the ghosts.
I've never done that.
Have you played Halo 1?
Yes.
Go burn. Lauren, what's your impression?
I haven't played it.
She hasn't played it.
I don't have a 360.
Either way. this is probably a good time to say it. Our 360, who we did not have a name for,
has Halo.
Has a Halo now. And not in a good way. It is dead. It got the 3 red rings of death.
It is a late 360.
Last night. And, we're not
it's
happy with Microsoft.
It's a few degrees short of a complete circle.
We're thinking about probably, like, bombing Microsoft or sending it back or something.
Bombing Microsoft or sending it back. One of those.
Whichever gets it done faster, because we just want a new 360. And EB Games probably won't let us return it because they're idiots.
And it's been 6 months.
It's actually been more than 6 months.
That and we hit it repeatedly with a hammer, thus violating the warranty.
That's actually not true anymore. They
you
have
hit it with
like,
a hammer to keep the warranty.
You Microsoft, like their warranty covers. If you get the red rings, yeah. They'll take it back. It doesn't matter. Like I don't think it really matters what state it's in. As long as it has the red rings, they'll take it back.
Nice.
But that's because the red rings means it was our fault.
So what if you like cut it open and hack it and do all sorts of fun stuff and then you break it and so then you just like go in and melt the little cords to give it the red rings.
Well, they'd probably see all the hacking you did.
They might be able to tell that it was man.
The knife cuts on the sides. Broken shell. Removed DVD tray. All that
stuff. Well, but aside from all that.
Then yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if he gets to try it on a $600 piece of equipment.
And,
$400 piece of equipment.
It's kind of annoying because ours was going great for a long time since we bought it.
We would abuse it, too.
Probably almost a year ago.
Use it like a normal piece of equipment.
But then Charlie's gets
leaving
the,
it on regularly.
Then Charlie's gets the red rings 3 days after he buys it, and then a couple days after we put his next to ours, or ours next to his, ours gets the red rings. It's like, share hard drives.
Well,
it's a disease.
We actually swapped the hard drives because we wanted to play a game on his, and we didn't have the save game on his hard drive, so we just put our hard drive.
Can anyone here say corrupted blood?
Corrupted blood.
Oh, apparently they can.
So yeah. Thank you, Microsoft, for that. You just ruined my week. I want you to burn. No, I'm kidding. Just give me the 360 back, please. Please.
Yeah.
Don't sue me either.
Get me one, too.
We were so close to getting the beating Halo. We were 2 levels away.
Yes, we had actually literally sat down. It's like, okay, you know what? Let's just beat Halo. Since we're this close, let's just beat Halo. And it stalls as soon as the level loads, and we turn it off, and we turn it on again, and it stalls at the title screen, and we turn it off and then on again, and it all stalls at the menu, and it kept stalling, and it kept stalling, and then Dad came in, and he's like, what, you got the red rings? We said, no, not yet, it's just stalling, we're gonna let it rest, and then we tried it one more time, and we got the red rings. That was wonderful.
Yes.
That's
let it rest.
We more. Did let it rest, and then we tried it again.
Oh.
Yeah. And that sucks. But one of the things about the Red Rings of Death, it's like
giving it bonbons.
Why do you name it the Red Rings of Death? That's not a good omen. I mean, that's like the blue screen of death. What? Don't call it that.
What?
Say, the purple rings of maybe I'll come back.
For the future rings of unhappy. But
what is it with Microsoft and having
of death
blank of death? They just need to make their stuff better.
I mean, with the Wii.
I mean, of all the 10 people that bought a PlayStation 3, those probably haven't crashed yet.
No, they did.
Hi, Peter. They were all, and your friends.
They were
all nine of them
overheating in the store displays. When they had them in the plastic things, they would overheat in all the store displays. And Sony actually had the gall to say, "Oh, that's actually a built-in feature to keep people from playing too long."
PR is wonderful, isn't it?
Especially Sony's.
So, you know, if anyone leaves it on too long, even if no one's playing, then the hard drive will melt.
But the Wii. The Wii's lasted.
We have a Wii.
If Nintendo can do anything, they can make their systems withstand hurricanes.
Yes, but I mean, to be fair, it's just...
Katrina ain't got nothing on the Wii.
To be fair...
What do you think caused Katrina?
To be fair, it's not that hard to overheat 256 megabytes of RAM.
What was that?
I said, to be fair, it's not that hard to overheat 256 megabytes of RAM.
It's not that hard to overheat?
No. That... You're saying the GameCube is weak.
And easy to overheat?
No.
Then why'd you say it's not too hard to overheat it?
Because he's not sure. He just wanted to insult the GameCube, but he didn't really have it.
The Wii. Yeah, you get them mixed up. And not that I don't love the Wii, because it's fun and all. Although, I have not played anything except for Wii Sports on it in the last couple
months. Well, I'm probably
going to
be playing Wii for a little bit.
Metroid Prime Corruption. Oh, yeah, that's true. Our Xbox 360 is dead. So, yeah. Hey, Zelda, who I haven't beaten yet.
I still have to beat Twilight Princess.
So do I.
Why do you beat a princess?
Where'd she go to Walmart?
Stupid princess!
Oh, is this a slow clap? And with that, we'll end the podcast. Teddy, give us our quote.
Today's quote is brought to us from an elite from Halo 1. And the quote is...
Istanbul!